Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 47. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And if I sound a little different today, bear with me as I am home today with about a foot of snow outside. And boy, do I feel lucky that when it comes to inclement weather, I don't have to deal with hurricanes or wildfires or tornadoes or anything like that. A little snow now and then is a lot of fun. And even though we're all shoveled out, we're ready for today's episode, which we have a lot of information to talk about today. Probably one of the most diverse podcasts that I have put out as of yet. And to start off today, we're going to get into some listener feedback. And this is an email that I received probably about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't had a chance yet to bring it up on the show. This email is from Morton, and this is about audiobooks. It says, "Here, dear Matt, I just started listening to your podcast after a recommendation. I really appreciate your shows. Very well done. I just wanted to add a note to your show number 37, where you talked about audiobooks. Because it is essentially an extension of open source and the open source mindset, did you ever come across audiobooks? I was introduced to audiobooks through Nathan Lowell, who was interviewed by Chess Griffin on the Linux Reality Show in 2008. He wrote and recorded audiobooks and released them under Creative Commons. They can be found over at audiobooks.com. All the best, Morton." And so Morton recommended a couple of different audiobooks that were released under Creative Commons, and I'll put those in the show notes for all of you listeners out there. And before we get into the discussion about audiobooks, what I want to start to say is, when I came across audiobooks, I was looking for a couple of different things. I wanted to catch up on older books, released books that I haven't had a chance to read. And when I started looking into audiobooks, I came across the Apple Audiobook Store and was blown away by the prices, the outrageous prices that they had in their store. Audiobooks ranging from $30 to $60, and the price was just way out of my league. Was not interested in it at all. So I reviewed other products like Audible and audiobooks.com and found that Audible had everything that I sort of wanted and needed, and at a reasonable price. Now, I'm not afraid to pay money for something that I think is priced reasonably and something that I will find that will benefit me or my life or help me learn about something new. And when Morton brought up audiobooks.com, it was really an interest of mine, and it really piqued my interest. And so I thank Morton for sending that in to me. And over at audiobooks.com, creators can submit their own creations using Scribble and become part of the audiobook family. You just have to follow their tech specs, and then their automated system will create and distribute the files that that you want. So there are a ton of Creative Commons audiobooks available at audiobooks.com. And taking a look at the website itself, I was blown away by how easy it is to listen to these books. I was expecting sort of like Audible, you would have a one choice how to listen to these books, but you can listen in iTunes, you can buy on Scribble, you can pay on Amazon, you can buy using a Kindle book, you can subscribe to an RSS feed, you can buy using Smashwords. The list goes on and on depending on which book that you want to get. And there are many categories for these audiobooks. You can browse fantasy, fiction, horror, humor, nonfiction, science fiction, thrillers, and young adult. I haven't personally had a chance to listen to any of these books, and Morton gave a few suggestions. And I'm curious out there, if you have a suggestion of one of these Creative Commons books to take a listen to as an example of one of the better books, please let me know. Just go over to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact button, and send me an email with some information on your favorite audiobooks that are Creative Commons license. And what I really liked about this site is that listeners can vote books up or down using a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And that will really show you the quality of the audiobook that we're talking about. Now, to me, I'm really picky about narrators in audiobooks. The narrators have to do it for me. If the narrator is a good actor, good voice actor, then usually I will enjoy the book. There have been a lot of books that I've listened to with terrible narrators, and I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be as far as audiobooks. And I'm looking for a great example of a really good book out there. So a lot of the books, though, in audiobooks.com have great ratings, 93% or higher, and really positive reviews. Some of these books are part of a series, so a series of books 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of the audiobooks here are episodic in nature, and so you can immerse yourself in a universe based on characters and stories of your liking. The great thing about audiobooks is that you're able to tip the author any amount that you wish. So instead of paying $30 to $60 for a book, you can tip an author $4.99. That's the recommended tip for one of these books. You can pay however much you want for these books, and these books are available for free, or you can send a tip. And I really like that model when it comes to audiobooks. So one of the things that I do when it comes to audiobooks is I like to catch up on bestsellers. I like to read the classic novels. And one of the things sort of on my bucket list is to tackle War and Peace, which is a 60-hour long audiobook. That doesn't mean that I won't give audiobooks a shot, because I've known several people who have tried to get books published, who have tried to write scores for or scripts for movies, and it's very difficult to get into those types of settings. It's very difficult to get published by any means. And this type of resource for people who are creative and don't want to go the route of getting something published, this is an excellent way to do this, by releasing your things for via Creative Commons and making them available to anyone. So I actually have a few friends who I'm going to make a recommendation on this to, and see if it'd be something that they would be interested in. Moving along now, what I want to talk about next is something that I did last week. I went to see the movie Hidden Figures. And this movie, if you don't know anything about it, I didn't even know this movie existed until somebody brought it up to me. Hidden Figures is a story about the United States in the 1960s and their race against Russia to put a man in space. And this is sort of an untold story of the Mercury missions from NASA and a group of three African-American female mathematicians who sort of served as the brains behind one of the greatest space operations in U.S. history. It is a true story of these three women who were known as human computers, and they struggled against racism, feminism, and used their intelligence to send a man into space for the very first time. Now, being a fan of rocket science, occasionally I'll watch launches online. Never seen one in person. That's another check on my bucket list that I'd love to go see. I know a little bit about the history of manned space travel, and I know a little bit about the Mercury missions. And watching this movie, it was very historically accurate. I don't want to get into spoilers for anyone, but anyone who is a fan of rocket science and the history behind NASA, you will see all of the respect that is given to the actual history of the whole mission itself. So you're not going to see in this movie a whole lot of the big superheroes like John Glenn or Gus Grissom. They're in the movie, but they are not the focus of this movie. In fact, as I was watching this movie, they did show the Mercury mission where Gus Grissom was launched and spent about 15 minutes way up high and came splashing down in a capsule into the ocean. And the capsule began to sink, and Gus Grissom actually made it out just in time before the capsule sank into the ocean. Now, what they did not really show in the movie was the fact that all of the data from the launch, all the data that they needed to analyze in order to put a man in orbit was in that capsule, and it sank to the bottom of the ocean. And they showed, you know, reactions from NASA employees, but they didn't really explain what was happening in the movie. And I sort of leaned to the people next to me, and I explained what had happened and why that was the case and why it was such a traumatic event. But I will say, as a fan of rocket science in general, that one of the things that have always amazed me and impressed me was the fact that it takes an unbelievable amount of math to get a person from the ground into space, into orbit, or to put a man into orbit for a year, or to send a satellite or a surveyor unbelievable distances all the way to Pluto and nail that trajectory spot on. And this movie really went into detail with the math portion of this and just how hard it was to think of all of the possibilities that would happen. And on top of that, invent math that didn't exist yet in order to get men into space. And it was these three African-American female mathematicians that did that and became well-known and also helped to continue NASA's and launch NASA into the forefront, into the space race. It's really an excellent movie. I really encourage anybody out there interested in the beginnings of NASA to check this movie out. It's probably not going to be in theaters much longer. I found out about it kind of late, and I'm so glad that I went to see it, being a fan of the Mercury and Apollo missions. I thought the story was told really well. And moving along now to another science-related topic. In a few weeks, I'm going to go see a brand new show that is going on tour, and I can't wait to talk about it in this podcast. But I wanted to give you all a heads up for in case anybody out there would also be interested in this. So this show is put together by Adam Savage from Mythbusters and Michael Stevens, who is a YouTube star. He has the YouTube channel called Vsauce. And Adam Savage is part of Tested.com now and is really big in the maker community, building things and creating things from scratch. And Michael Stevens is a person who is a deep thinker when it comes to science and the science of strange things. Why do things happen? Why do things occur? Patterns that you find in the universe, that type of thing. And they're putting together a touring show that's going on the road for 7 weeks. And the name of the show is called Brain Candy Live. And they advertise it as, it's what your mind is hungry for. So what they mean by that is it's sort of described as a cross between TED Talks and the Blue Man Group. They have such a great sense of humor and creativity that leads to like wonder, curiosity, and fun that's in a family-friendly environment. It's sort of like Walt Disney meets Willy Wonka and Albert Einstein. And I'm really interested in this show because it's sort of all these different things that I've been interested in and watching over the last year to year and a half while I started this podcast venture. And so you can go to braincandylive.com and you can see the tour dates that they have on sale now. And I was really surprised on how many different venues over the next few weeks and months they are performing at all over the US. And if you are interested at all, I suggest you take a look at the venues themselves because there might be one near you. And I would highly encourage you to go take a look at that show. And I'm excited in a few weeks after I go see the show itself. I'm going to come back and I'm going to review it here on the podcast and tell you what I thought about it. And I'm really excited to do that. So that's, again, Brain Candy Live. I'll put the link in the show notes for those of you who are interested in that as well. Okay. So also, this past week. Over the last few weeks, actually, I have been testing the live stream on my YouTube channel. Now, the first one I did a Linux Mint review. And last Friday, on my YouTube channel, I did a live stream event where I discussed my favorite podcasts. And most of you out there probably listening in podcasts probably listen to some, if not all, of the podcasts that are on my list because we have all probably similar interests. But I went into a little detail on how long I've been listening to these shows, why I listen to these shows, which shows helped me the most when it came to what I do and learning about what I like to learn about. And I sort of did this because I would like to do more on the YouTube channel with live streaming in a video format. I talked a little bit about this in last week's episode, episode 46, where I said I'd like to sort of get into a little bit more visual ideas when it comes to some of the things that I like to talk about. And so if you'd like to, what I'm planning on doing is probably on Fridays at some point during the day, probably around noon, I'm going to do a couple of live stream tests and just talk about other things that I like to talk about, podcasts, could be movie reviews, could be Linux distros, could be just about anything that comes to mind. And I can't set an exact time because my schedule changes so much that depending on when I'm available, I can pop on the live stream if I have my things set up ready to go. So the best way that I would recommend if you want to check out the live video streams that I'm going to be putting out is subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's MRP Tech Reviews. Subscribe to that channel. And if you have your notifications turned on, you will see whenever I go live. And it'd be nice to get a couple of viewers now and then popping in and talking on the chat. So this is all an experiment. This is stuff I'm still working out and working on the fine details. But enjoy to check out all that stuff and any other video that I produce over on YouTube. All right. Now on to today's topic. What I want to talk about today is an extension from last week's Linux Mint 18 review in episode 46. And at the very end of the episode, I started thinking, sort of on the spot, that I wanted to switch from my old Dell laptop to a System 76, it's an older System 76 laptop for my podcast rig. Now, this is now more than ever sort of in my mind because as I've recorded this week, I did the podcast this week on my Mac, and I've had to take 3 attempts at recording this podcast today because Audacity is apparently not wanting to cooperate today. So this makes me once again want to go back to using Linux, and I really want to get my podcast laptop set back up. So what I did is I actually wanted to go back and forth between Solus and Linux Mint this week. And what I tried was the Solus Mate edition on my old Dell laptop just to see what it had to offer. And as I turned it on, I was really impressed of how much the Mate edition of Solus reflected the original, the Budgie desktop of Solus. And the theming is beautiful. I believe it's using the Arc theme still. And the Brisk menu created by Ikey and the rest of the Solus developers really is quite fast. It's enjoyable to use. And if you are comfortable using the original release of Solus, this Mate version, the Mate desktop, is going to really work well on older machines. Now, I've used the Mate desktop on various other Linux distributions. I've used Linux Mint Mate Edition. I've used Ubuntu Mate. I've used the Mate desktop in Arch Linux, and I've used it in Fedora, and probably a wide range of other well-known Linux distributions. And I have to say that the Solus distribution of the Mate desktop is probably one of the best that I've seen. As I mentioned, if you're comfortable in the Budgie desktop environment with all of the things that Solus has provided for you, you're going to find all of those resources available to you in the Mate desktop. And you won't always find that in other Linux distributions. Sometimes when you're trying Linux distros and trying different desktop environments, those distros have one primary desktop environment, and the other ones are sort of just vanilla desktop environments, very basic, not really themed well towards that distro. And you're sort of left feeling a little left out if your particular favorite desktop environment isn't polished up to what you would expect. And with Solus, I didn't get that. I got absolute polish from the Mate edition, and it worked great with my Dell laptop. In fact, it got me so excited to use Solus again that I considered, when it came to building my podcast rig again on my System 76, I was almost ready to install Solus all over again. Now, I've used the Budgie desktop before with my Chromebook, and it worked great. I really loved and enjoyed doing that. And when it came to my System 76, I flashed a flash drive to install it. And when I tested out the live environment of Solus on my System 76, I actually found that the Budgie desktop on a larger screen, for some reason, felt much different to me. And I don't mean this in a bad way. This is not a knock on Solus at all. My workflow changed when it went from a small screen to a larger screen. And some of the things that I found useful on the small screen didn't pan out coming to a larger laptop screen. Now, this is just me, just my opinion. And then, again, this is not a knock on Solus at all, because I really respect everything that they're doing. But it made me second guess installing it on my System 76. So what I ended up doing is I left Antergos installed on my System 76. And I'm going to use that for a while as my podcasting rig in the future. And if I have any problems with the upgrade process or new software, Solus is really right behind Antergos on my list. In fact, it's really knocking on the door and wanting me to install it on my laptop and give that a spin as my main podcasting rig, because the software that I use for podcasting is available on Solus. And it has really shown a lot to me over the last few months on just how much they care about the end user and what they have as an end goal in their project. So what I have done in the meantime is I left Solus Mate installed on my old Dell alongside Linux Mint, and I'm going to test that for a few weeks and see if this Mate version is just as rock solid as the Budgie desktop version. And I know there's a whole lot of changes coming down the pipe with the Budgie desktop, and I'm anxious to see all of that as well. And I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing without making any major changes right now. But what I want to ask all of you out there is to send me ideas for things that you want me to discuss on this show. I am very curious about the wide range of listeners that we have, and I want to sort of hone in on these shows and make topics that you're interested in and that you want to hear about. And because I don't want to make this show something about me talking every week, I'd like to interact with my audience a little bit. So if you have a show topic, or you want something, you want me to try something or review something or talk about something, by all means, send it my way. Just hit the contact form over at mrptechreviews.com, and I will be happy to get back to you, usually within a couple of days. And we'll go from there. I've got a lot of great ideas for shows, but if you have other topics, I don't mind sidestepping out of the way and really focusing in on what you guys want to hear. Morton sent me something regarding audiobooks that I had never discovered before. And I learned too as this process goes on. So I learned about patio books, and now I'm going to go check that out over the next few weeks and months. So I'm going to update you as I myself get back to trying some of those things out too. I also want to take a second to, before I let you go today, just briefly talk to you about, I've said it before, the great shows over at podnuts.com. And behind the scenes, I can't tell you how helpful some of the hosts have been from Podnuts. And I owe them a big thanks for helping me out and helping me sort of find my way here as I keep learning and keep getting better at this podcasting thing. And if you really enjoy Podnuts, you know, I just think about the unbelievable amount of work it takes to do one podcast, not to mention several or a whole bunch of different ones on the whole podcast network themselves. So if you're really enjoying Podnuts, please consider hitting that donation button over at podnuts.com, sending them a few bucks and helping them out. Now, if you'd like to help me out in particular, you can go over to mrptechreviews.com. There is a donation button there, and I could use your help because I am trying to get a HDMI capture card. I mentioned that last week, and still trying to get there. So if you have a few extra bucks you want to send it my way to help me bring some more video content to my listeners, I would appreciate that. But for now, that's going to do it for this week. Got a great show lined up for next week as well. Thanks so much for listening. We are rolling away. Stay tuned to the live stream on YouTube, MRP Tech Reviews channel, and we'll probably be doing something on Friday as far as a live stream is concerned. But for now, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.